This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 54 of Sunday Supplement. I feel like my face is about to burst for some reason.
Your face?
Yeah, my face. Don't sound so incredulous. I do have one.
Tell me about your swelling face.
Well, because I've got my headphones on, it makes my cheeks swell up and I look like a hamster, I think.
You look like a hamster in earphones. Without them, you just look like a hamster.
Yeah. And I've got a load of food in my cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not just up your bottom, in your head as well.
No, I didn't say up my bottom. I said in my cheeks.
Which is the same thing.
No, because cheeks are buttocks, not bottom.
But your buttocks is near your bottom.
Your buttocks is near your bottom, but so is your lower back.
I'd say your buttocks was your bottom.
No, your buttocks is your derriere.
Who was it who told me that? I had this weird conversation with somebody recently, and halfway through the conversation, they just went, of course, the reason that we all have fat asses is that without a fat ass, you wake yourself up.
What?
Exactly, yeah. Right, this is pub fact, this. Without bottoms, you'll be woken up in the middle of the night because you won't be able to get a good night's sleep because you'll become uncomfortable. And that's what a bottom is for. No, not your bollocks, your bottom.
No, that's rubbish. Your bottom is to do with sexual allure, isn't it?
Is that what your bottom's for?
Yeah, well, shut up. When we were monkeys still, you know, apes. Well, I know we're still apes, but when we were quadrupeds.
When we were Ida's cousin, what was her name? It wasn't Ida, it was Ida. No, Iris?
It was Ida.
It was Ida.
One or the other.
Ida singing on the balcony about not crying for her Argentina.
No, that never happened.
Did that never happen?
But according to Desmond Morris, that's why women have décolletage.
Well, that and plastic surgery.
It's to do with a full shape to mirror your bottom or something. I don't know. Desmond Morris said it. He knows what he's on about. I don't.
But the thing is, when you see women from other cultures who have used their breasts, they no longer reflect their bottom.
Or...
No, but you know, without the bra, the breasts don't really, after a certain period of time, especially if you've had a lot of kids to rear and, you know, been running around without a bra on.
But evolution's quite a slow process, isn't it?
So basically you're thinking that we're going to evolve to become more and more perfectly pretty.
No.
But that's not true, because surely evolution would say everybody who's young and fertile should look pretty, and then it doesn't matter. So
isn't there a certain element of truth to that in the sense that
teenagers.
We find younger people more attractive?
Well, you might do, but you're a...
No, that's not...
This is like the film Lolita, ladies and gentlemen. We're hearing all about Simon Dunn fancying 10-year-old girls.
Did you get a newspaper?
I did. We're doing a special edition. You should tell people that.
No, I'm going to sulk now.
Okay, right, I'll tell people that. Hello, people, dear readers. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Simon's in a bit of a strop because I made out that he was a paedophile. As we all know, he only fucks grandmothers. But this week, we're actually recording on a Saturday. And also, can I just apologise for having no episodes last week? And that is really my fault, not Simon's fault. That's kind of my fault. And...
Stop talking. You could have said we're doing a Saturday special this week and saved us all a lot of silly bother.
Yeah, the whole podcast could be Izzy Wins, and that would be saving a whole lot of silly bother.
What newspaper did you purchase?
This week, we're doing Saturday, and so I got the best Saturday paper that is. It's the paper I always get anyway on Saturday, and that is The Guardian.
It's not the best paper there is, because I got the best paper there is, which is the Financial Times Weekend.
Oh, you think that's the best paper?
Paper. It's hard to mock. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfect. It's like me in that respect.
It's a bit pink.
It's brilliant.
Pinko.
And hard to mock. You can't mock me. I'm the Financial Times.
Pinker, pinker, pinky, 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 pinky. You're like Beaker.
No.
Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this now. Let's just get this over with, done. Just do. No.
If you're gonna,
I'm like Amy Winehouse, and you're like Beaker. No.
No.
I think that guy from Vicar of Dibley would have been an excellent Amy Winehouse. No. Yes.
It's time to decide what we're going to cut out and keep today. And to be honest, I read most of my magazine today and I thought it was very good.
Somewhere in here I've got a Michael Jackson like extras bit, but I can't find it in among... What have I got? I've got here the review. Learn to play tennis. I've got Adam and Joe's Glastonbury A to Z in the guide. But the main one I'm going to get all my good stuff out of is the Guardian Weekend magazine. And this has an agony aunt column, which is called Dear Lucy, and it contains this letter. Sometimes I feel bad that I don't feel worse. Am I insane? No, you are Catholic. Which is probably the best thing in the whole thing.
Surely Methodist.
Well, no, Catholics are all about the guilt, you see, I suppose.
Yeah, but the point of being a Catholic is that you can do whatever you want in the week as long as you repent on Sunday.
Yeah, but even repentance doesn't mean wang.
Doesn't mean wang?
It doesn't mean wang, because Jesus is, you know...
Jesus had a wang.
No, Jesus didn't have a wang. It got nailed.
No, he used it for nailing.
No, he didn't. That's not in the book. It didn't happen.
It's in that Martin Scorsese film.
What, Jesus' first pubic hair?
No, Jesus does Mary.
There is something about Mary.
Does inflation reflect the size of Mars bars?
That's a good article.
It's not, it's rubbish.
Does it, though?
Yeah.
Cool.
But I want to talk about The Undercover Economist. And why weather forecasts can affect your prosperity.
Oh my God. This is going to turn into the money programme. I can feel it. It's just like, oh, when's News Quiz going to start, man?
No. It's talking about how weather forecasting actually has a better economic record than economists.
What's the economy got to do with the weather? Obviously, you can predict
what this article's about.
And obviously,
about.
The predictors of the weather will get better because the weather stays the same complex thing, but your technology gets better. But the more... You know, the larger the global economy becomes, the more difficult it is to predict because there's more factors in it. I mean, it's not exactly
They're not using the software to predict economy things.
They can.
If they predict that it's going to rain on a bank holiday weekend,
yeah,
people won't go out to tourist places thinking it's going to rain. So in May, Bournemouth estimates that it lost £1 million of revenue and 25,000 visitors because the forecast was going to be rain and it actually turned out to be the hottest day of the year.
Yeah, but what about the times when they said it's going to be sunny?
Well, yeah, but they're going to be there anyway. And
that means that people need to be lied to because so they can't make informed decisions.
Well, it gets a bit more complicated than that. Electricity generators work better at different temperatures and so they have to plan ahead for what amount of fuel they're going to use to generate the electrics.
And you have to make sure that France is online and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you've got all these other emergency ones. Like, that's why hydroelectric dams are so good, is because they can start really quickly generating electricity.
Yeah, that's what they do at the end of the football match, isn't it? They just open up a dam in Wales.
But not that many people watch football, I don't think. I think it's all a myth.
Local governments need to know when to salt the roads. They go out and do
it
anyway.
Yeah, they're rubbish at that, though.
Exactly. But also, this is the best one. And this is really why I want to talk about it. In Tasmania, if they have particularly cold weather, the instances of witch killings go up.
Now, you see, Tasmania. I've been to Tasmania.
Sorry, Tanzania.
That would be it. The idea of Australians killing witches is hilarious. That's Sheila. She needs to be burnt.
And they reckon that for every extra pound you spend on weather forecasting, you'll save 10 from economic losses.
Wow.
That's a supplement. That's an article in a supplement. It's not about faith healing or pouring water on your wounds.
Listen to this shit, yeah, done? Okay?
I'm not listening to you shit.
You're going to get spanked, okay? Critical mass. When does a packed but happy crowd become a dangerous, even lethal one? Emma Brocks investigates a growing trend, the crowd craze. And this is all about people being crushed in crowds.
Uh-huh.
And it's really cool.
You think it's cool that people get crushed in crowds?
No, but I think it's interesting in how they're trying to work out...
The study of crowds is actually quite interesting. I do agree with you there. I've watched programmes about how they model how to manage massive intakes of people into stadiums and things. And you've got to give them less choice.
Yeah, the moment there's a bit of indecision, you're going to get crushed to death. And it's really a nicely written article because it's all basically about this one guy called Jemati Damo, a security guard working in Walmart, and they have this thing on Black Friday, which is basically the US equivalent of the Boxing Day sales, and he was a security guard there, and they opened the glass doors because people were being crushed against the glass doors, and they opened them, and as soon as the back of the crowd saw the doors open, they went for it, and so they started to push. And then a lady at the front tripped over. She was pregnant, so he helped her get up and was in turn crushed to death. I was thinking, how much force could it possibly be to get crushed to death at? according to this, just five people pushing in one direction exert a force enough to kill you.
Really?
There's like things of crowds where they've actually bent steel all together. Wow. It's just incredible.
That's amazing.
I know! And it's the best article I've read in such a long time.
So why doesn't Harrods fall down when they surge on it on the New Year sales?
Because they're not an out-of-control crowd and there's free and full movement.
Just because they're upper class, it doesn't mean they're not out of control.
There's this one guy who's written a book called Can Moshing Be Made Safer? And he sort of tells you the... I know, it's just beautiful, isn't it? It's the human factor, it's that unpredictable. So even in a nice crowd, you can still get crushed to death. What you should do is you should wear a lot of layers, even if it's really hot, because that gives other people a way to cling on to you if you need to get them up again. And also just because you can't talk to anybody because it's probably going to be too loud or it's too difficult. The key thing is to make as much eye contact with those around you as possible and to be their sort of like friend facially, because the natural human instinct isn't the selfish running thing. It's actually to protect your group.
Right. So your article is all about how to save people from dying in crowds, and mine is all about how to save people using weather forecasts. Should we just call it a score draw then?
Piss you, I win.
Now let's play article or farcical then. This is where Izzy reads out four things from her thing, and I decide which one's a thing and which ones are things.
So, number one, is this an article or is this a farcical? Chuckle derision.
Oh, quite nice. I quite like that, although I absolutely despise and hate the Chuckle Brothers.
Making sense.
S-C-E-N-T-S.
Yeah, that one. Not like American sense, but making sense. The tine of your life.
As in the fog on there.
As in the tine. The tine is in Newcastle.
As in the fog on there.
I don't know if there's any fog.
You've never heard the song Fog on the Tine?
It's all mine on mine. Fog on the Tine is all mine. No.
Okay.
And last but very much least, I don't know why I've chosen this one. It just made me laugh. Lively up yourself.
Lively up yourself?
Yes.
Not liven up?
No, lively up yourself.
Sounds almost rude.
It does sound slightly filthy. For our listeners who haven't played before, the key to this game is not to panic, and also know the one that's lively up yourself is definitely, definitely an article, because it made me giggle a lot. So Simon really has three to choose from, which are making sense and the time of your life, which apparently is about Newcastle, and of course, chuckle derision, which we don't know what it's about, but there is a children's television programme which has been running for about 70 years in the UK.
Yeah.
Featuring two Liverpool men with large, hairy...
Lips.
And they basically create chaos where they go.
They prat about.
And the moral of the story is never, ever, ever employ a scouser. So, Simon, which are the articles, which are the farcicals? You must decide.
Must decide. I mean,
well, otherwise we'll be here for a long time. This isn't a pinter play, okay? It's got to have an ending.
It doesn't have to have an ending.
It does.
Who says it has to have an ending?
Well, let's put it this way. If you don't play, I win automatically.
Well, you're going to win whatever I do because you somehow cheat all the time.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. So, do you know what? I just don't care this week.
You're very apathetic. I don't know if it's just the Iran elections or what's going on. Maybe it's grief over poor old Michael Jackson. Maybe that's it. But for some reason, this doesn't seem important to Simon anymore. What's wrong? Tell us about it. Tell us your sorrows.
Well, you know, I do a weekly podcast.
But you didn't do it last week. Is that what was wrong? Were you a bit upset and you were left on your own, like a dog in a kennel, going, they're not feeding me enough?
Do you really have such a low opinion of me, describing me as a dog in a kennel? That's how you see me, isn't it?
Okay, an elephant in an elephant house.
How is that in any way better?
Okay, Simon, it's trip A or trip B. First of all, we get to go to the kennels and see the dogs, or to the zoo and see the elephants. I don't think there is anything better in your... Basically, Simon, for you, an elephant in an elephant house is probably up there with somebody sexy you fancy in your bed, like Jeremy Clarkson or whoever it is. You would be very, very content with the thought of being
I would
an
rather
elephant
go and visit an elephant in an elephant house than a dog in a kennel. But I wouldn't rather be an elephant in an elephant house.
So why do you go to the elephant house? Are you just mocking the elephants? Okay. Ha yeah. Ha! Okay. You're rubbish! You're worse than I am!
I have a better standard of living than you do. Exactly. I know how to use a phone.
You get showered if you're an elephant, and you get a lot of oranges and bananas, and you eat them with the skin on. But anyway, Simon, which one's the article or which one's the farcical?
Chuckle derision is the one you pulled out of your bottom.
And we'll be giving the results after the break.
Have you ever wanted to be an elephant?
Elephant.co.uk. It's an actual website.
It is an actual website. It features a man with an elephant for a head.
Yeah, a massive elephant for a head. That's for our 5 listeners who know us personally. It was a massive elephant for a head.
It did have a massive elephant for a head. So,
cock-like. What?
What?
I don't know.
Did you just call me cock-like?
No, I said a massive cock-like elephant for a head. You see, if you had an elephant for a head, that's an elephant's head for your head, not an elephant for a head. Because otherwise you've got, like, that would make you some sort of spider if you had, because you'd have an extra 4 limbs.
So, am I right?
Yes, you are. Well done. Oh, I quite like it when the podcast goes like this. We need a bell or something to signal the end of the round.
Ting-a-ling.
Shade in and shut up.
Fashion.
Yeah.
I really sound enthusiastic about fashion, don't I?
Well, you know, Simon, it is the time to buy. It is the summer sales.
Is it?
Go out and sell something pretty, yeah.
I thought it was the summer solstice. I'm getting confused. Isn't that why all those hippies are in Glastonbury?
I think it probably is all those bloody hippies and their bloody music enjoying themselves. Bloody hippies.
I don't like hippies, and I don't like their music, and I don't like that they enjoy themselves.
You don't like music, though, to be fair. It's not like there's a particular form of music you go, no, that's a groovy beat, y'all.
What is it? A flip-flop called the Fit-Flop, which is a flip-flop that's designed to help you work your leg muscles by making you walk in a different way. And it uses micro-wobble-board technology. which combined to make the midsole firmer again at the front and for a quick, efficient toe-off.
That's quite amazing.
It reminds me of the shoes that Kramer wears in that episode of Seinfeld. Is it the Jimmy, where he can jump really high in his basketball and the velvet fog and all that?
Oh, can't remember that.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know. I've just got a picture of an old lady wearing a T-shirt that says, "Not at your age."
Right.
There we go.
How old is she?
Well, she's very good looking, but I'd say she's in her touching 80.
She's touching an 80-year-old and saying not at your age.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
She looks really cool. It's what I want to look like when I'm old. Hang on, I'll show you a picture, Simon.
Okay.
Then you'll understand the feel beauty.
She looks like you.
Does a bit. Well, she's got the white hair and the facial wrinkles and the disdain and also the specs.
And she's got a little annoyance next to her.
No, she doesn't. She's hit him.
So you're offering up a picture.
What's offering fashion? Up
technology that will create better calf muscles. And you're offering up a picture.
It won't make better calf muscles. You know that.
Why not? It's got micro wobbleboard technology. How could something called micro wobbleboard technology not make your calves fitter?
I've also got a thing which says, it's called the measure, and you've got going up and going down, and the bottom of going down is Ronaldo's short shorts, and it just says underneath, "What a tart."
Time to delve into our mailbag then.
You know, I know you missed me.
No, we didn't. I didn't even notice you weren't here, to be honest.
Well, several people did. We had correspondence.
I wasn't here.
All they really cared about was me not being there, though, because I'm the one that everybody loves.
No, you're the one that everyone loves to hate.
No, I'm the one that they all go, "God, I wish I was like Izzy, because she's all so perfect and wonderful, and she's really nice to that guy Simon, considering what a jerk he is." That's the one I am.
Well, to be honest, I decided to be a barrel-sized bastard this week.
Barrel-sized bastard?
Yeah, a barrel-sized bastard. And I thought, you know, I'd be rude to you for most of the episode.
Because Simon isn't really barrel-sized. He could live in a barrel.
I could live in a barrel.
You're built like a little Lego shithouse, aren't you, Simon?
I am built like a little Lego shithouse. Yeah, I haven't done that line for a long time.
I know. I wrote that line. I'm a genius.
That's why I don't do it anymore.
That's true.
Dear idiots, what in buggery munch are you talking about? Slinky hips? Who would I go on a date with? This is England. We don't do dates. Drunken snogs and back alley gropes. That's what we do. And I can think of nothing worse than ramming my tongue down the vomit-clogged throat of an android, an alien, a popinjay, an actor, or a man-mental. Sort your tawdry little lives out.
Oh, back passages with Rickman. Anyway, what?
Back alley gropes with Rickman.
Yeah, that'd be good. Not back passages, that's a bit deviant.
But yeah, it's nice. He combined hate mail with hate mail.
Which is great, because he hates males and hates males.
We haven't had much hate mail recently, so it's nice
We haven't actually, but we haven't really been asking for it.
We have been asking for it. We've been putting a podcast out every
week. Yeah, that's true. And we should be more controversial. That's the way to do it. I was expecting us to get at least something saying that we were wrong about the voting thing. We didn't.
No, not a peep. Actually, that reminds me. I'm going to... Oh, look. Look, this. I've got a thing in my supplements about... Why we it's pertinent. It's apropos.
Okay. Be apropos.
Moment of madness. The political gets very personal. And it's Andrew Mueller talking about why there's such low voter turnout. It basically makes the argument that we're not apathetic to politicians because they bicker and they have point scorings in that political one-upmanship. He says it's because they're not as passionate as we want them to be. And he says voter turnout in Taiwan is massive because they have fisticuffs in their parliament.
Did he use the words fisticuffs?
He does actually say fisticuffs, and he uses the word brouhaha.
Nice. How do you spell brouhaha?
Brouhaha.
Really? I'd have thought it'd be like brouhaha, like brewing tea.
Yeah, it's not. You're wrong. And he says that the sad thing is that the fighting may stop because Huang Yong Tian was sentenced to 5 months in prison after he forcibly removed a rival's wig.
That's terrible.
I think he's on to something. I think if our politicians did actually punch each other in Parliament.
There's that Radio 4 thing, which is, what's it called, Number 10, which was like the West Wing, but for British people. She had really passionate people in Downing Street, and listening to it, you're just like, this is really good, but it's not real, is it? Because all the way that politics is perceived in the press is it's very selfish and people out for their own agendas rather than trying to improve the country. And I think probably, actually, it's the wrong attitude. And I think maybe, just maybe, some politicians actually do want to do good.
I think so. I don't think that's that well, it probably is quite a controversial point, actually.
It's bizarre, isn't it? And also, considering what politicians are doing, I mean, how much they're paid isn't exactly huge, is it?
It's tiny. They were in the private sector, they'd be earning huge amounts of money. I mean, obviously they have second jobs and all that sort of stuff, which, you know, is debatably wrong. But the idea is that, yeah, you're a public servant, so you must be doing it for a reason of public spirit, surely.
And, you know, they could always go on Big Brother if they want to get their tits in the press.
Oh, I've got an image of George Galloway in a leotard now. That's not good. Do write to us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Twitter is @Izzy_Lawrence.
Please do.
And if you need to lap milk out of Rudolenska, write to Channel 4. Time then to grab our humdongers with both hands and see which ones stick out over the top or something. I don't know. They're getting more and more tenuous, those humdonger double entendres, I think.
What is a humdinger?
Humdinger is a good thing. Cool, that was a humdinger.
I know it's a good thing, but what is it? What was the original humdinger? Because a humdinger, I bet you, is a reference to a specific product or tune.
Right, tell you what, you tell me what your humdonger is and I'll Google humdinger.
No, because my humdonger is really good. So you Google humdinger and I'll wait for you. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do. Are you doing it?
Well, there's a humdinger foods.
Look it up on Wikipedia or Dickipedia or whatever it is, the dictionary version is. Do you think there is a Dickipedia? That'll be... Do, do,
do, do. Yahoo questions. What does humdinger mean? A remarkable scene, performance, or out of the ordinary scenario?
That's Yahoo answers. That's not the definition and origins of the word, though, is it?
You want me to dictionary it?
I want to know where it comes from as an expression. I need to know. You're a rubbish researcher. I'd have got this up immediately and have done it quickly and been all cool.
No, I would have edited out the 10-minute gap whilst you searched for it.
Can I just say, my humdonger has the words supreme head in it, as well as walrus of love. And girth.
Origins are from 1885 to 1890, but it doesn't say where.
1885 to 1890. So that's before the engine, isn't it? The black car engine.
What's that got to do with anything?
I thought it might have been a motor vehicle.
The humdinger?
Yeah.
Like the penny farthing?
No, that's a bicycle. The humdinger would have been like a motorised penny farthing with a massive...
walking in front of it with a flag.
Yeah.
Well, I've got That Was Then, This Is Now, and it's comparing literary extracts from modern day books and great classics, and it's comparing The Great Gatsby with... Four Blondes by Candice Bushnell.
Oh, for God's sake.
This is the only bad thing in the whole thing, to be honest. It was quite hard to find a humdinger. And it has a nice long quote from Gatsby, which I'm not going to read, and it compares it to Bushnell.
Yeah, because that's the thing that you don't want to...
I can't do it justice with my stupid nasally voice that sounds like I'm eating a gerbil in a barrel with a spoon.
No, you just sound like you're eating a Scotch egg. That's what you sound like.
I think I can do justice to Candice Bushnell. Everyone is drunk on champagne and raspberry cocktails. There's the same group of 25-year-old women, all tall, all good-looking, dressed in evening clothes, who spend half their time in the bathroom and half their time trying to pick up anyone famous.
That is a humdinger, don't get me wrong, but is it as much of a page filler as a desperate trying to turn, oh God, what do we do on our last page of the guide? And the last article on the very last page of the guide says... Is this it? He loved a beheading and ran up the kind of debts even Ocean Finance would balk at. But after six wives, is Henry VIII still ready for love?
What?
Who do you think you are? I am Henry VIII, by grace of God, King of England and France, Defender of the Faith, Lord of Ireland and of the Church of England, also of Ireland in the Earth's Supreme Head. My Wikipedia entry confirms this.
Right, now, what's most tragic about that? Is the back page of the guide used to be where Charlie Brooker wrote his article.
What's new, pussycat? I'm the star of the British Library's blockbuster exhibition, Henry VIII, Man and Modern.
Oh, so it's just a massive bloody plug for a festival then?
How clean is your house? I'm fastidious about cleanliness. Where's your head at? It's not my head you need to worry about. Are you ready for love? I am the royal walrus of love.
He is the ape man.
It even has a thing which says, I executed more English notables than any monarch before or since. Don't mess, people.
Shade in and shut up. Time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week. And to be honest, the Financial Times weekend is brilliant.
I've got Scrabble, which with the track of letters right, find the way to score 42 points in one move, and I think it might be the word c**t because you can make it.
You cannot score 43 points.
I've got a C, I've got a U, and I've got an S, and there is a T and an N perfectly.
So hang on, you're suggesting you should win because you can make a expletive that perfectly describes Piers Morgan.
I could use my C and put it on magic and get a triple letter score on the C, which that would get 9, 10, 11, 12. No, that wouldn't work.
Well, we've reached a stalemate because I'm not going to back down.
Well, if you don't back down, I will hit you.
No, you won't. You're
violence
at least
wins.
78 miles away.
I can still hit you from there.
Right, if you can hit me from there, you can win.
Simon?
Yeah?
You got a fly in your nose?
No, I haven't. It's not going to work. So, I win.
Hey, Simon, I'll let you win if you pretend you're in panto.
What, and slap my thigh?
No. Okay, give yourself rounds of applause.
You're not going to make me hit
If
myself.
You ever touch yourself again, Simon, I win.
Fair enough. The winner this week is who? I'm confused. Me.
Well, it is you until you actually physically touch your own body with your hands. Because right. That counts as a hit.
So until I...
Touch yourself.
There's no winner this week because we're too apathetic and it's a bit warm again.
And it's also both of these worth getting.
They were, yeah.
But The Guardian's better. How much was yours?
£2.50.
£1.50.
All right, well, on sheer price alone, you can get the cheaper Guardian or the much better and superior and...
No, it's not much better. It's of equal quality. And you don't get grannies and T-shirts. Izzy wins.
Mine's pink.
Touch yourself, then.
So join us pink. Next week. We are here next week.
Yeah, like properly. It'll be a proper episode. Also, if you want us to do specific papers, if you guys... really, really want to do a specific paper, you can write in. We'll ignore you, but, you know, we might not. Or let us know which paper you read on Sundays.
Or enter the Slinky Hips competition.
Yeah.
Or both.
I can't remember the Slinky Hips competition, other than the hate we're getting from it. But the winner's always Alan Rickman. It's even too hot for Alan Rickman's day. It's rubbish day.
It's always too hot for Rickman. Cheerio.
Oh, you want me to say goodbye?
Yeah.
Well, in order to get me off stage, Simon, you have to clap.
All right, well, I'll just stop recording then. In the middle of your next sentence.
Can't stop it.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.